We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 10, texts 20 to 22, and 22 is on the board, so I will first read the Sanskrit for 20 and 21, and then we can repeat together 22. Ya ima loka palasya putra butva tama pluta. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. These two young men, Nalukuver and Manijiva, are by fortune the sons of the great demigod Kuvera. But because of false prestige and madness after drinking liquor, they are so fallen that they are naked but cannot understand that they are. Therefore, because they are living like trees, for trees are naked but are not conscious, these two young men should receive the bodies of trees. This will be proper punishment. Nonetheless, after they become trees and until they are released, by my mercy they will have remembrance of their past sinful activities. Moreover, by my special favor, after the expiry of 100 years, by the measurements of the demigods, they will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, face to face, and thus revive their real position as devotees. Purport. A tree has no consciousness. When cut, it feels no pain. But Narada Muni wanted the consciousness of Nalakuvera and Manigriva to continue, so that even after being released from the life of trees, they would not forget the circumstances under which they had been punished. Therefore, to bestow upon them special favor, Narada Muni arranged things in such a way that after being released, they would be able to see Krishna in Vrindavan and thus revive their dormant bhakti. Each day of the demigods in the upper planetary systems equals 6 months of our measurements. Although the demigods in the upper planetary systems are attached to material enjoyment, they are all devotees, and therefore they are called demigods. There are two kinds of persons, namely the devas and the asuras. Asuras forget their relationship with Krishna. Ashram bhavam ashrita, whereas the devas do not forget. Tva bhuta svaraloke smin deva asura eva cha. Vishnu bhakti smito deva asuras tat viparyaya. It's from the Padma Purana. The distinction between a pure devotee and a karma mishra devotee is this. A pure devotee does not desire anything for material enjoyment, whereas a mixed devotee becomes a devotee to become a first-class enjoyer of this material world. One who is in direct touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service remains pure, uncontaminated by material desires. Anya bilasta sunyan jnana karma dhyan anavritam. By karma mishra bhakti, one is elevated to the celestial kingdom. By jnana mishra bhakti, one is able to merge in the Brahman effulgence, and by yoga mishra bhakti, one is able to realize the omnipotency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. but pure bhakti does not depend on karma, jnana, or yoga, for it simply consists of loving affairs. The liberation of the bhakta, therefore, which is called not just mukti, but vimukti, surpasses the five other kinds of liberation, sayujya, sarupya, salokya, sastri, and samipya. A pure devotee always engages in pure service. Anukulyena Krishnanu silanam bhakti uttama. Taking birth in the upper planetary systems as a demigod is a chance to become a further purified devotee and go back home, back to Godhead. Narada Muni indirectly gave Manigriva and Nalakuvera the greatest opportunity by so-called curse. So, repeat the translation again. These two young men, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, are by fortune the sons of the great demigod Kuvera, but because of false prestige and madness, after drinking liquor, they are so fallen that they are naked but cannot understand that they are. Therefore, because they are like trees, these two young men should receive the bodies of trees. This will be proper punishment. Nonetheless, after they have become trees, and until they are released by my mercy, they will have remembrance of their past sinful activities. Moreover, by my special favor, after the expiry of 100 years, by the measurements of the demigods, they will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, face to face, and thus revive their real position as devotees. Om Ajnanati Mandasya Jnanjana Shanaka Sakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Chichetanya Manopistam Staptam Yena Bhutale Svam Rupakadamyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandiyam Shiru Shri Yudha Patakamlam Shirum Vaishnavamsa Shirupam Jarjatam Saganaranatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parjan Saitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Saganalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sa Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandha Chyat Pate Kaupe Shakupka Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchna Kaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vanashvari Vrishabhana Sita Devi Pranamama Haripe Vankha Kalptur Vrisha Kripasan Vrisha Patnam Pavan Bhyo Vaishna Bhyo Namo Namo Chaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavin Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutalishi Mati Bhakti Charasamti Namani Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutalishi Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namani Namaste, Sarasvata Devi, Gauravani Pacharani, Nirvishesha, Sinyavadi, Paskatyayi, Desatarani, Srila Prabhupada Ki. So, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, deeply intoxicated. That Queen Kunti, she speaks about material intoxications. She said, there are four kinds of intoxications. Janma Aishvarya, having a good aristocratic birth. And surely, Nalakuvera and Manigriva were in that position, the sons of Kuvera. It's quite a good birth. That in the heavenly planets and Aishvarya opulence, too much. They are the sons of the treasurer of the demigods, a lot of opulence. And then Shruta, Shribir, they have beauty, very beautiful demigods. That's not to be compared with any beauty on this earth. That's so beautiful, handsome, that... And they had a good education, but seemingly they forgot their education under the influence of Somaras, drinking liquor and becoming so intoxicated that they forgot that they were naked. Of course, when on the highest platform of devotion is so absorbed in one's spiritual activities and one's spiritual identity that one forgets one has a material body. That's interesting. But that's the kind of intoxication we desire. But here it's different. What's the effect of all these intoxications? Is identification with the body. And inability to perceive Krishna within one's heart, that one forgets Krishna completely. One is completely focused on I and mine, I'm going to enjoy this body. So they were even not so drunken that they could not understand that they were naked. So they were completely disqualified to see the Lord. But by the curse of Narada Muni, they will be able to see the Lord face to face. That's quite interesting. Completely disqualified, and this so-called curse will give them the opportunity to see the Lord face to face. That's incredible. That's the mercy of a great devotee. One may say yes, but they became trees. A tree is unconscious. But still, although they were in the trees, they were still conscious. Very interesting. A special favor by Narada Muni. So sometimes sages curse for the well-being of conditioned souls. Like there is this story of this sage who said to a prince, a royal prince, who was enjoying life, that I bless you, may you have a long life. And then the sage met a brahmachari, a staunch brahmachari, really following his vows and study. And the sage said, may you die immediately. And then the sage came across a butcher. And the sage said that better you don't live and don't die. So how can we understand that? He blessed the prince to have a long life because the prince was complete in enjoyment. What does Bhagavad Gita say about enjoyment? Yehi samspasya bhoga dukayonra evate atyantafante kanteya nate shuramate buddha. The sage has said that one who is attached to enjoyment, the cause of enjoyment is the cause of suffering. It's not worthwhile. It's temporary. So he blessed this prince to live very long, because after he leaves the body, Yamaraj will take care of him and will suffer for all his so-called enjoyment, the reactions that. And to the brahmacharis, he said, you die immediately, because if he dies immediately, he goes to Vaikuntha, gets immediately liberation. And for the butcher, he said, better you don't live, you don't die. You are now in hell, you will be in hell after death. So, the curse of a sage is always for the welfare of the spiritual advancement of devotees. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Ananya sintiantamam yechana parapasitesam nityabhyuktanam yogakstem avahamham. Krishna says, I carry what my devotee lacks, and I preserve what he has. Interesting, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna will protect all the spiritual advancement his devotee has made, preserve it, the spiritual advancement. And the Lord will give everything required for the devotee to make more spiritual advancement. So interesting is, Krishna gives us what we need. Maybe not what we want, but what we need to make spiritual advancement. And sometimes he does that personally. Sometimes he does that through the sages. How he does that personally, that there is this interesting verse also in the 10th canto, but in chapter 88:8. Easy to remember this verse, 10:88:8, starts with 108. It reminds me that Krishna is a transcendental person. And he has a transcendental character, a way to deal with his devotees. And it's not that Krishna deals with great devotees in a particular way and is going to deal with us different. No, if we come in a similar situation, Krishna will help us to make spiritual advancement. Sometimes Krishna sees the devotee is too much attached to sensory gratification and does not let vanti to go. That's called in the Bhagavad Gita, Hridaya Darbalyam, weakness of heart. It's like a kind of madness, and we cannot get out of it. It's like we want to become Krishna conscious, but at the same time we are too much attached. It's like someone is embracing a tree and calls to the tree, "Let me go, let me go." But you are embracing the tree. Then the spiritual master comes and says, "Oh, you are embracing the tree. Let it go." But sometimes it's too much. And then Krishna intervenes in our life. And this verse 10:88:8 is like a way how he intervenes. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Yasyam Anurinami Arishetat Danam Sanai Tatu Danam Tayam Yasya pachana dukadukidam. He says, yasyam anuhenami. How one can see that one has received the favor of the Lord. Krishna is going to tell when we can see if someone has got Krishna's favor. Here, Krishna says, the personality of Godhead said, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him from his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. Very interesting that we see also here Narada Muni, he takes the same position. He curses them so that they will suffer as trees. That all those trees are unconscious, that's right. But he has blessed them that they remain conscious. And they are in the form of trees. That's quite a suffering. A lot of time to think about what happened. So this is Krishna's arrangement for purification. It's Krishna's arrangement not only for our purification, but it's Krishna's arrangement for giving us realized spiritual or transcendental knowledge. Because the process of purification is described in Bhagavad Gita. Well, in Bhagavad Gita, 4:10, it says, that vitarāga bhayākrodā manmayā mamupaśyatā bhavokana tapasā putamāt bhāvam āgatā. Many, many great sages in the past have become free from attachment, fear and anger. And they became purified by knowledge of me. And by that development of knowledge, they develop transcendental love for me. So there is it's purification of the heart. Realized knowledge comes. And then love develops. It's interesting that how that goes. And Krishna's arrangement that for his devotees to bring them in a helpless situation, that helps them to get rid of this contamination, purification, and gradually they come to the real realization from within. Krishna gives them the intelligence once the purification goes. And the same thing here with Nalakuvarya and Manigriva. Gradually, they came to their senses, their spiritual senses. So that's Krishna's mercy upon his devotees. A devotee is also called a Mahatma. Bhagavad Gita says, Mahatmanastu mam partha devim pagatim ashvita. So a devotee takes shelter of the spiritual energy by satatam kirtiyantamam, by chanting the holy names, by performing devotional service in 9 angas, that takes shelter of the spiritual energy. So from the moment we take shelter of the spiritual energy, Krishna is taking care of our lives. Life is a drama. And Krishna organizes our drama, our life. And every experience, Krishna gives us experience by which we can learn. That's amazing. Every life becomes an education in spiritual values. And gradually, we learn. And that's the mercy of Krishna is the mercy of great sages like Narada Muni. It's the mercy coming to the spiritual master who cuts in our attachments and gives us instructions. Things we ordinarily would not do because we don't like them. But we have to do that. And gradually, we make spiritual advancement. Another example of that is like Ajamil. Ajamil, he was a devotee in the beginning of his life. He fell down, but Krishna did not forget him. He had an extraordinary end-of-life experience. He heard his conversation between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. And by hearing that conversation, he came to his senses. He understood, I've done so many sinful activities. And this near-death experience was a great blessing, because afterwards he got a determination. He said, I will never do it again. And that determination we must develop. And Krishna helps us to develop this determination that true is spiritual energy. That, of course, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes the point, demigods, most of them are sakam bhaktas, performing karma mishra bhakti to go to the heavenly planets. That looks like the path of pravritti mach, the path of sentient enjoyment, performing pious activities and for sentient enjoyment according to the scriptures. That's called karma kanda. It takes a while, but if one is successful, one goes to the heavenly planets. A very risky business. I think it was King Nabi who he was known as a very charitable person, and he gave beautiful cows decorated with golden horns to the Brahmins. But one day he made a little mistake. He gave a cow away to a Brahmin, and the cow came back into the herd. And he gave the same cow a second time to another Brahmin. But then the first Brahmin said, you gave the cow to me. And the other Brahmin said, no, it's my cow. But King Nami said, no problem. I will give you each 10,000 cows instead. But the two Brahmins said, no, we have both taken a vow of poverty. So we decided to take only once charity. And that's it. So he got in problems. When he left his body, he came before Yamaraj. And Yamaraj said, oh, very good, so many pious activities. But there are also some sinful activities. That point of dissatisfying the Brahmins came up. And Yamaraj said, what do you want? Do you want first the reactions of all your pious activities, or first your sinful activities? King Nami said, first my sinful activities. Srila Prabhupada writes in a comment, that was not very intelligent. Better to accept, he would have accepted first the pious results, then he could have chanted Hare Krishna and performed devotional service and get rid of all these reactions in the past. But no, he chose first the sinful activities, and he became a lizard. And then in Krishna's pastimes, the youngsters from the Varaka, they found this lizard in a well, but they could not get him out. And they called Krishna, and Krishna liberated King Nabi from his situation. So demigods are not pure devotees in that sense. Pure devotees means only Krishna. I act only for the pleasure of Krishna. Good or bad, I don't care. Suffering or happiness for the body is not a point. If I have to suffer and that pleases Krishna, that's my greatest happiness. That's the inner attitude of a pure devotee. But the karma mishra devotees, they have other goals, materialistic goals. The karma mishra bhakti wants to go to the heavenly planets. The jnana mishra bhakti wants to merge in Brahman, become God. That's quite materialistic. And the yoga mishra bhakti want realize the omnipotence of the super soul if they are successful, but mostly they are not. They are deviated by the mystic powers. But the achievement of the devotee is different. He gets vimukti, special liberation, Srila Prabhupada said. And that special liberation is engagement in pure devotional service. Of course, these destinations are related with the different yogas described in Bhagavad Gita. They are all meant to bring us to bhakti. But the problem is that like the jnana mishra bhakti, want to merge in Brahman. That's the wrong goal. because why are they striving for Brahman? They don't know Krishna's position, and that Brahman is just an effulgence of Krishna's transcendental body. So it's due to ignorance. Better to take the direct course of bhakti and get this vimukti. This vimukti can be attained even in this life, in this body. If we come to the point of pure devotional service, pure devotee can have two meanings. Pure devotee can mean I'm pure in heart. One has surpassed nishtha and has become liberated, pure in heart. And then with that pure heart, one can absorb in devotion and serve Krishna. But pure devotee means also one who acts in pure devotion, who acts on the liberated platform. And that action means that one acts only for the pleasure of Krishna, to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord unconditionally. that, or to please the spiritual master. Only living to please the spiritual master. And that brings a great happiness to the heart. In the 70s, that devotees were joining the temple. At that time, you were living in the temple, or you, if you were not living in the temple, you were in Maya. So everyone was living in the temple in that time. And everyone was engaged in the mission. As a strict sadhana every day, everyone was going out during the day. Harinam, in the beginning, there was 11, 12 hours Harinam every day, and distribution of back to God. The books were not yet there. But the devotees were blissful, very happy. So that's important. Even if we are not yet pure in heart, we can experience this bliss by fully surrender to the mission of the spiritual master. So we'll stop here. Are there questions? Yes, Sutta Papa.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, right in the beginning you said the tree has no consciousness. Is that right?
Well, that's what's in the purport here. But the tree has a certain level of consciousness, because there are leaves of the tree, and when there is light, the leaves turns to the light. But It's so much covered, the consciousness, that is practically nil. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives three examples. The embryo covered by the womb, fire by smoke, and the other is the tree. The tree is covered. Is nearly completely unconscious. But conscious is there, because the soul is there, but it's covered over by the material energy.
But regardless of whether you look at it from Vedanta Sutra, or Bhagavad Gita, or quantum mechanics, you can always prove that it has consciousness.
Yeah.
For example, in 10th chapter, Krishna says that I am the consciousness of all living entities. The tree is a living entity. Therefore, Krishna is his consciousness. Yeah. Similarly, if you go to Vedanta Sutra, there you find it talks about Shalagram Shila and also Brahma Jyoti. Mm-hmm. And at the end, the conclusion is that Krishna is in both. So he's everywhere, within everything and without everything. And interestingly, if you go to quantum physics, it goes even further. It says that all animate and inanimate things, they live in a continuum of space and time.
Yeah.
And that is actually consciousness. Therefore, the consciousness of each is determined by the complexity of its biology. For example, you can take a little chicken. It is alive, therefore it has got consciousness. But why is this consciousness so little? It is because of its biological complexity, which is not very complex. Mm-hmm. But we are very complex. Our brain is very, very complex indeed. That being so, our consciousness is at a very high level. Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted to summarize. Thank you.
Thank you. Very interesting. You want to ask something?
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. you're explaining how Krishna is active within our life. We have stories of the Goswamis who are practicing very high level of devotional service, and Krishna was very much active, reciprocating with them. I'm just wondering, like, for a conditioned soul who doesn't have that kind of dedication to Krishna, sometimes it feels like if we're perceiving that Krishna is acting in my life, it's kind of like almost like we're cheapening it, or it seems a bit puffed up that, oh, like, that Krishna would take me so seriously that he would act in my life. So I'm just wondering, like, on one hand, we understand that anyone who renders service to Krishna, Krishna is reciprocating with that devotee. At the same time, as conditioned souls whose bhakti may not be so strong or so serious, how much should we actually take seriously our thoughts of how Krishna is acting in our life? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good point that you make, but Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Savasya Amridisana Vishtamata Smitakanama Pamsa, he gives us intelligence from within the heart, forgetfulness, remembrance, that he makes our heart beating. Even on the material level, he's constantly involved in our lives. What then to say on the spiritual level? From the moment we want to go back to Krishna, we take one step, and Krishna takes 10 steps towards us to give us situations in our lives to purify us so that we can elevate our consciousness. Because the point of consciousness is very important, that elevation of consciousness. Does that help? Thank you. Okay, it's time. Shanta Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.